Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hello and welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I'm Ryan Eichten, and with me, after a thrilling Bulls victory in the opener, is the sneaker reporter, Travis Singleton. Travis, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Looking forward to talking about actual regular season Wolves basketball, a game that matters. The preseason is over, thankfully, but how has your offseason been before that?
Offseason's been good, man. Just busy. Just kept moving with the links, but, you know, excited to get this rolling now.
Yeah, Lynx end of the season was brutal.
It was
a tough one. I guess just hoping, I don't know, I've been vaguely following the CBA kind of negotiations back and forth since. Obviously, I talked about the famous fee press conference on this pod, but
yeah,
just at this point, we're just hoping for an actual season next year because I kind of feel like that's up in the air.
Yeah, honestly, we don't know what's going to happen with the, you know, CBA and, you know, and the crazy part is a lot of the Lynx players are free agents, so you don't know what the future could be for them. So It'd be interesting to see what happens, but, you know, the women need to get paid. That's flat out what it comes down to.
Yeah, and unfortunately, maybe this is my negative bias, but trying to get a bunch of uber wealthy people to pay their employees properly is a tough thing now and probably forever. To be fair, maybe that's a bit too negative, but maybe not. But yeah, we'll talk about, let's just start off with the Wolves, who won in Portland, 118-114. They were trailing, it seems like they were trailing by 2 to 8 points literally the entire game. Like, Portland was not pulling away, but they had a solid lead. But in the fourth quarter, kind of unlike last year where they struggled so much in the clutch, Anthony Edwards and the rest of the Wolves kind of put their foot down late in the fourth quarter. Do you have any general thoughts just kind of coming off of that game immediately after the win?
For me, I felt like, you know, they forgot that it was regular season. You know, the first three quarters, I feel like they were like, oh, this is still a preseason game. And then it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, no, this is an actual game. So they actually did good the fourth quarter. One of the things that really stood out to me was, you know, defensively in the paint, they got to figure it out. You know, Portland was getting whatever they wanted. So it's just more so trying to, you know, limit that. But then also, like you said, the clutch time was very good too. And made some huge shots. But hats off to Portland too, though. Jeremy Grant looked like the Jeremy Grant I was covering in OKC last night out of nowhere. So shout out to them too. But I think it starts defensively with what they're trying to do as far as the Timberwolves. I don't think it was more so what Portland did. It was more so what I think the Timberwolves were lacking in.
Yeah, I would say the Wolves' defense had more to do with them in any – I think the turnovers actually had a lot to do with what Portland was doing more. So on the offensive end, I think I would flip up what you said there. But yeah, like the defense, they just had to be better. We'll kind of talk about that here. But I'll give you my main takeaway was I had, just watching that game, especially the first three quarters, a lot of either just straight up worrying or potential worries about just this roster. The defense, especially especially with Rudy on the bench, was pretty brutal, which has always been, especially early last year, was an issue. The point guard situation, we'll talk about Dante starting over Mike, but, I mean, six turnovers from Dante. He was far from the only one turning it over in the backcourt. And so there's a lot of worries that come off of that game. And I kind of, and I tweeted this out, I kind of almost don't care because of how good Anthony Edwards was. Like, it's almost like none of that matters. If your best player is going to hit half his shots, half his threes, go 8 of 8 for the line for 41 points, including the go-ahead three, step-back three, and the go-ahead dagger. Like, I just, it's like we can, those are fun things to talk about. We will talk about it, but it's just like, we have Ant. Like, nothing else matters. And I guess other teams have Ant quality players. I don't know if you haven't yet, both you, Travis, and the listener, if you haven't, go watch Wemby's highlights from last night. They were
I saw truly
insane. I'm not sure what was more insane, Wemby's highlights or the fact that Portland's coach got arrested this morning. that's just my general takeaway. There's a lot of worrying stuff, honestly, from that game, but I'm just not really sure it matters.
I totally agree with you. I mean, honestly, I mean, that's what you have a superstar for, right? They saved the day, you know, and that's what Ant did. I mean, like you said, the turnovers, you know, every time I looked up, they were turning the ball over. So, you know, it's just more so trying to, I think they're still trying to figure it out. It's the first game, you know, like we said last year, for me, at least for me, I don't judge a team until 20 games in. So I can kind of figure out what that team actually is, but if Ant's going to be shooting like that and saving them like that, then it doesn't matter, you know? So, but yeah, I think Portland definitely outplayed themselves. Like, I don't think they thought they were going to make some of those shots, tough shots, and we're getting to the rim like that. So I think overall, you know, Timberwolves really should have won that game by like 15.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I also think, follow me on this, that obviously the Mike didn't look great in this one, and they played Dante in starting, and maybe even a bigger deal that they, Rob Dillingham didn't see the court, and they played Bones Highland in the fourth quarter. A lot of the turnover issues were, to me, it had less to do with what positions, like they were, had less to do with the fact that they were not playing a true point guard, and more to do with one, just self-inflicted issues for the Wolves, and two, how Portland was pressuring them, and that not every team will be able to pressure like that. And even if other teams can pressure like that, like Portland will not be able to do that all 82 games. Maybe they can for like 60, but like there's going to be nights where teams will not, most nights they will not see that pressure in this, and specifically like the game against the Lakers do not have a roster that's going to defend like that, like Portland did. So I kind of, while the point guard situation is a worry, I think Portland specifically has the roster to like poke at that issue now. And so I say that, but also the problem is the next team I would point to that also can do that is the defending champions and the favorite to win again, the Thunder. So it's like, it doesn't stand out as a regular season issue to me writ large, but like maybe it is again, it certainly still is against a specific matchup, one that you likely will have to go to if you go through if you want to win the title.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I wanted to ask you, did it bother you or like concern you that Rob didn't get any minutes at all?
Yes. It's, I know Finch talked about it. Go listen to Finch's press conference, which apparently only Dane Moore has it, which is annoying from a FanDuel TV's perspective. I'm not sure why they aren't posting Finch's press conferences, but go on to Dane's X page to listen to it. It was worrying that they didn't play Rob. I would say Bones coming in instead of him didn't worry me any more than I just think, like, it makes sense. Bones is the type of player, a veteran that is more likely to like just come in and play a few minutes in the fourth quarter. That fits. If they're going to play Rob, they should play him 15 minutes. Like, don't, the half man that they were giving him last year, I don't think is a good role. But yeah, it's not great that one game into the season he's out of the rotation. Because even if Bones didn't step in, they played 9 guys and Rob was not one of them.
Yeah, and that was what was concerning to me, because I mean, you know, you want to continue to encourage him and give him the confidence that he needs, right? But then, you know, when the team needs you, they need that true point guard, they're going Dante, they're going Bones, you know, they're skipping over him. So, you know, so it was concerning to me too. I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page. But You're right, though. When you play OKC, when you play those other teams that are going to be really tough defensively, you need somebody that can bring the ball up without turning the ball over. You know, so I think in those type of scenarios, I think they're going to probably have to put the ball in Ant's hands and have him bring the ball down at that point, because you already want him to either be aggressive and set up the offense, or you want to run the offense through him where he gives it to somebody and gets it back.
Yeah, and I think it's just more about them figuring out how they're going to get the ball up the court when Mike had a backcourt turnover too, if I remember correctly. Like, they just need to find a way to do it. And obviously, I kind of think they should have Randall just bring up the ball, not because he's the best ball handler on the team, but because he's getting guarded by another forward. If he's getting guarded by like a Tumani Kamara type, then that's probably a bad way to push the ball up the court. But if he's getting guarded, who is on him last night? Sharp? Shaden Sharp?
Yeah, Sharp on him. Yeah, Shaden Sharp was playing him.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously a good defender, but, like, I think that's an area that they can, like, it doesn't have to be Dante. It probably just needs to be Ant, because I don't, Ant had four turnovers, but I think those were kind of half-court turnovers, if I remember correctly. I don't think they were push the ball up the court turnovers. I think that's the way to do it. And Shannon too, obviously. I don't know how much Shannon and Ant will share the court together in terms of just because they play the same position, but it's certainly a worry, and it's hard not to watch that game and not be concerned about it. I do think that Portland specifically is a good team that's going to make that particular issue look worse, and especially just and then from a postseason perspective, which is getting we're 81 games away from that, but
yeah.
Like, a lot of teams just don't play a pure point guard. Is Shea a pure point guard?
No.
Not really. Not any more than, like, Ant. Like, why can't... I'm not saying Ant has to be as good as Shea or whatever, but, like, why can't Ant do that particular part of Shea's game, bringing the ball up? Like, why can't Ant do that? I think he can.
Yeah, I think that's Luka, the next level.
Is Luka a point guard? Yes, but, like, he's also... Like, there's not a point guard side. Like, my point is, a lot of these teams don't play... How many teams like just play like a Mike Conley type point guard from start to finish? Denver doesn't. Their point guard's a 7-foot Serbian guy. Like,
yeah.
I just think, and obviously, like, that's different from, and Murray is the one who quote unquote takes the ball off the floor. But like,
yeah.
I it's a worry for sure. But I do kind of think that I know it's not going to be like an every night worry. At least not in my opinion.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you know, we're turning to the combo guards now. So these are the players that are just bringing it up the court and initiating offense right away. You know, so, I mean, even look at James Harden. James Harden's been doing it for years now. I mean, that's somebody, if I was in, I'd be like, okay, let me pick his brain, see how he's doing things, you know, because they're basically almost the same build. You know, obviously, Ant's a little bit more athletic, you know, but when it comes to bringing the ball down, I think that's the next level to his game that they need to unlock, because, you know, Mike Conley he'll be the guy that can make sure that they're not turning the ball over. But at the same time, though, you know, he's getting up in age. So you got to figure it out from there. You got to figure out how to set up the offense quicker.
Yep, I agree. Well, the biggest note that we got pretty much right, like, same day as the game was Dante was going to start over Mike. I personally, all preseason, I just thought they were going to start Mike because that's what they've been saying. That's what they did last year. So I wasn't shocked that they went with Dante. It just kind of seemed like, I think something changed from the start of the preseason till that decision. And it doesn't have to be anything major league bad or anything. I just think they like the way Dante played in the preseason. John Krasinski kind of talked about in his podcast that Mike's been dealing with some bumps and bruises, and that had a lot to do with him not playing in the preseason as much as just Mike's the oldest guy in the team and there's no reason to waste minutes for Mike on preseason games. But I just think I'm more concerned about who is going to finish the game, which we can talk about that they didn't play Dante and they went with Shannon and Bones in the fourth quarter, but I'm more concerned about that. And so when they start Dante, to me, that just makes sense, because just start the five guys that are going to play the most minutes. Like, it's easier to, and Finch said this pregame, it's easier to build out rotations that way. So Mike plays 13 minutes. Let's say his average gets up closer to 18, 19, 20. Like, it's just easier to play 20 minutes, because now you can play or even let's make it 18. Now Mike can play 9 minutes straight from like, instead of playing 4 minutes and then 4 minutes and then 4 minutes and 10 minutes, like it just makes more sense that way. And if there, I mean, I know the narrative off of this game is going to be like Mike Conley is watched, and I guess I get that. I still think it's not going to look like last night, but if there comes a game where Mike makes sense to close the game, you can do that. That just doesn't preclude you from doing that. And even Finch has shown Dante didn't close last night, and they went with Shannon ended up playing the most amount of minutes and was the one down the stretch that was the quote unquote point guard. Positions aren't even real at this point, but like Shannon was the one that was in there.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think Mike Conley is going to be more so. He's going to be more so. I think he's going to be more so needed when there's moments when the team needs to calm down. You know, like he's going to calm them down and get them refocused and locked in on what the plays are. But I also pretty sure, you know, they came to Mike and was like, "Hey, Mike, what do you think?" You know, with Dante, you know, and I think that's a respect factor, and I think that's truly what happened. I don't think Mike was like, "Oh, I need to play 30 minutes." He knows, even he said it in his media day session, he was like, "Hey, I'm not that guy anymore, you know, but I'm in the best shape of my life and I feel good." So when he said that, and then hearing what was said in the preseason, I'm like, this sounds more so like they went to Mike and probably talked to him and was like, "Hey, what do you think about this?" You know, and Mike's the most unselfish player ever. So he's not even gonna say no to that. So I think they'll be fine.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, I'll push back at anyone that says that this will be an issue for Mike, or Mike will cause a stink. Like, Mike will do whatever the team needs him to do, and it doesn't even have to be that way, because I do think that this will be the best thing for Mike as well. Like, I just think that's where Mike is at with his career. We saw last year, like 2 years ago, the Wolves needed Mike to start. Mike and Rudy was a big part of their offense, that two-man game pick and roll.
Yeah.
And last year it just wasn't. A lot. Some of that was those two players having not as good of years. Most of it was the trade and integrating Julius, and their offense just changed. A little bit less spacing with Julius in those lineups instead of Cat. But now I think if they play him majority with like the backup lineups with Nas and Shannon, and they're running and gunning. Like, I do think like Mike can still have a role there. I think, I don't know when they came to this conclusion, but Mike is not going to be just the starting point guard night in, night out, running pick and rolls with Rudy. I think he's going to, you know, like, the biggest worry is like, and it's just three shots. He had five shots, but he had three 2-point shots, and he missed all three of them. And so that's the big worry, that if Mike, it felt like he didn't hit a floater all of last season. And you wonder if that's just a variance thing or why that happened. You worry that it's age, but that's the big thing. Can he get some 2-point scoring so that offenses can't just sell out on his 3-point shot?
Honestly, I think he's gonna have to run that second unit. But then, even if he runs the second unit, because remember, he said, "I want the ball in my hands." So I think in the second unit, that allows him to have the ball in his hands to facilitate and be him. And I think that's what that second unit with Nas and them need. So I think it's gonna work out.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about Dante now, who I thought had a good first quarter, was hitting shots, making plays, but the turnovers were just a disaster. The backcourt turnovers, I think you can attribute to him playing point guard or Portland, but one of the turnovers he had, which was something that happened all of last year, where a team would close out hard on a three-pointer and he'd go dribble by him, and he'd get the help defender would come up and he'd try to make a pass out of that and it'd be a turnover. And we saw one of those last night. And that's, I mean, the five or so backcourt turnovers are, before you even got inside the 3-point line, turnovers are worrying as well. But like, that's the play where it just felt like last year, every time Dante drove, it ended up as a turnover, at least in the regular season. Yeah. And I just, I that's my worrying part is like, if he's taking on that kind of type of role from Mike, that they need to find a way to get him into better spots. Really, in all spots, I thought the three, he got 3 3-point attempts. If he would have played closer to 30 minutes, those would have been 4 or 5. I'm really not worried. I think he'll have a great 3-point shooting season. It's just kind of every other part of his game has not quite worked out so far in Minnesota.
Yeah, I think him coming into the season with more so with the role, knowing what he's going to be doing now, I think that's going to give him some confidence and it's going to help him. He's actually a really good rebounder too. And I think that's something else that's going to probably add another dimension to what they're doing offensively, you know, because he gets in there offensive rebounds as well. Like, I totally agree with you. I think his 3-point shooting is going to be a lot better this year. But, you know, he has to also find out where everybody wants the ball at. Where does Rudy need the ball? Okay, the pick and roll. Okay, let me get the ball to Ant here. So he has to figure that stuff out on the fly now that they're moving forward with him as the starting point guard. So there's going to be adjustments that need to be made. And I think, like I said, I judge off the first 20 games. So we'll be able to see what he does moving forward.
Yeah. I guess we need to just keep kind of going down the list of players. Julius Randle, I thought a solid game, pretty much what we saw from him in his down the stretch of the season. So he had 19 points, 7 of 13 shooting, 3 of 5 3-pointers, or obviously that's that'll be, if you can get 2 of 5 from him all season, you'll more than take that. 7 rebounds, 6 assists, just like a 19-7-6. Like that's basically his numbers from last year and plus about 10% or so. Added 2 steals and a block. I just thought that's the type of game they need from Julius. I thought he missed a couple of those post-up mid-range shots that probably would go in, especially like he just left one of them just completely short. That felt like just like that's a first game of the season miss right there.
Yeah.
I just thought a solid Julius performance that they needed in a game where, other than Ant, they weren't getting a ton of offensive production.
Yeah, I wanted to see Julius more in the paint a little bit with Sharp on him to take advantage of, like, you know, bodying him in the paint, just being able to, you know, kind of mouse in the house. But he wasn't able to do it as much as I wanted him to. But other than that, I mean, like you said, he had the 3-point going. Basically, that's what we need, triple-double Randle. You know, so if he's in triple-double mode, then 9 times out of 10, we're in a position where we could be successful as a team, just watching them. You know, and I think overall what he brings to the table, I think if he can just focus on the assists and the rebounding, I think the offense comes to him easy. So last year, the first half of last year, he didn't figure it out. So this year you're going into it with more chemistry. You know what everybody does. So I think we're going to be good. Just to piggyback and bounce back to Dante real quick. How many assists do you think Dante is going to average this year? Or how much do you feel like he needs to average for him to be successful?
Well, it's got to be more than the 2 he had yesterday. Certainly the 2-to-6 assist to turnover ratio is not going to play. Last year he had 3.6 a game. So yeah, I think like 4 a game or more is probably what they'll need from him. But like, at the same time, like, he had one of his higher volume turnover seasons last year, and obviously one game into the season, not a good start there. But yeah, I think the assist to turnover ratio, as you point out, is for Dante will be a big one, especially if he's going to play. Again, the positions are, I think, what is a point guard? Like, Jokic plays point guard, but if he's your quote unquote point guard, you kind of need better, certainly. 2-to-6 negative, more turnovers than assists is not going to play.
That's not. Yeah, that's definitely not going to do it. I'm with you. I think he should be between 3 and 6, you know, assists per game, and he needs to be at least close to making 3 3-pointers a game, you know, for me at that clip. But yeah, that's how I feel about Julius, though. I think he just has to focus on what's in front of him And if he does that, I think we'll be successful as a team. I keep saying we, like I'm playing on the court, but the Timberwolves will be successful if they do that.
Yeah, I guess it's we if they win, and then it's you guys if they lost, right?
Yeah. So. You know how it goes.
Yeah, and it's important just with even the players that played well, but I mean, like you mentioned, 20 games is the minimum, I would say, that you can really start making like large scale conclusions. Maybe the coaching staff that's in the practices every day can certainly more quickly assess things, but like from what we're given, combined with quotes and just the 48 minutes a night, like you said, it's, I mean, especially like 3-point shooting, which is just like, yeah, Dante goes 1 of 3. That's a three shot sample size. That's not enough.
Yeah.
Randall's not going to shoot 60% from three. Jaden's not going to shoot 75% from three. I mean, just looking at the box score, that'd be one thing. If you're piling stuff up and quote unquote good luck or good variance, like 15 of 30 from three for the Wolves, as obviously slightly, I mean, they got good looks. I can only think Randall had a couple tough looks, and Ant made a couple quote unquote bad looks. And Portland shoots 31%. It's easy to win a game when you outshoot your opponents from three to that degree. But also, Portland shot 40% from the floor, so it's easy to win games when you hold your opponent to 40% shooting from the floor. I'll have to. Synergy has a good like shot variance number that like kind of. It's for one game sample sizes, it isn't perfect, but like it's a good like confirmation bias of sometimes you feel like, oh, this is just a shot luck, shot variance game, or this was Synergy has a good number that I like to use to either confirm or dissuade that notion. I didn't particularly pick out that for this game, but
yeah.
One of the defensive things, Ryan,
it's the first game, so we'll cut you some slack.
For sure. One of the defensive things that was interesting was the Wolves committed 29 fouls, leading to 35 Portland free throws. Portland committed 17 fouls for 24 Wolves free throws. The fouling has kind of always been an issue for the Wolves. I mean, Rudy's usually a pretty good, I don't think Rudy, for a starting center that plays drop coverage, I don't think Rudy fouls out very often. To see him foul out was, but like that's kind of, with him and Jaden, that's always trying to defend without fouling is important, and I thought they gave the Blazers. I'm not gonna complain about the officials. I mean, you can nitpick a call or two here, but that'd be one thing that for the defensive wise, I would want to see kind of improve is defending more without fouling.
No, for sure, and I think for me, I was really impressed with Jaden last night too. I want to just bring that up. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're touching on that, but.
For sure.
Just his willingness to attack. You know, he constantly was attacking last night. That's the Jaden that everybody wants to see. You know, the aggressive Jaden that's going to the rack, trying to facilitate, you know, getting rebounds, starting the offense off. So, I mean, and that dunk was crazy, too. So,
oh yeah,
that was another thing. He got the team going with that, too. So, we need to see that type of Jaden. And like Finch said, he challenges him to get back in the defensive player of the year. So, definitely wanted to bring it up because a lot of stuff that Jaden does is not, it doesn't hit the stat sheet, you know? So.
Yeah. Jaden had a fantastic game kind of quietly. I kind of looked at the box score after the game and mentally I'm like, I don't think he had 18 points. Like it didn't seem like that. Maybe that's, I do think that's kind of a compliment that, and I think it's kind of where Jaden's going to get, if he is going to have an increased scoring season, it's going to come there. He's not going to get extra, like, he's not going to get the ball more. He's not going to have more plays run from him. But getting out in transition a little bit more, hopefully knocking down a couple more threes. I mean, a good start making 3 of 4 last night. But just even a 35% three-point shooting season would be good instead of low 30s, I think he was at last year. Five rebounds is good to see in the sense of first few years of his career, it was like you'd go 1 rebound, 2 rebound games from Jaden, and something seemed to click midway through last year where he was having 8, 9, 10 rebound games. So it's good to see him kind of more in the, and again, one game rebound variance is true.
Not
sometimes
sure.
The ball comes to you, sometimes it doesn't. I thought Jaden was really good. Missed a couple mid-range shots that I like are in his game, but just didn't happen to go in. They're gonna, he's there. Without Nikhil, he's their really like in terms of wing defenders, obviously they have Rudy, but like wing defenders, guard defenders, like he's their main guy. And really, obviously Ant can do that one-on-one in spurts. And of course, Jalen Clark will fill in there. But in terms of guy 3 and D, like guys that are pluses on both offensive defense, it's Jaden. And so they're going to rely on him a lot.
No, they definitely will. And I'm just happy that they were able to go 9 deep in the rotation too, because it showed that, you know, they could throw multiple people out there, multiple defenders as well. So that's something that, you know, the Timberwolves are definitely stacked on the 3 and D players, but it's more so getting them to play with that confidence. So once they do that, you know, the Jalens, the Terrences, once they get that going, they're going to be vital pieces to what they're trying to do. So I think the players like the Jadens and the Ants, they got to continue to keep working with them to build that confidence up, and them getting the minutes in the first game, that's going to build your confidence up too from a coaching perspective. So this team, I know it's one game, but, you know, they look good. You know, even in the first 3 quarters, they still look good. It's just that Portland was just making some shots that nobody believed they were going to make.
Mm-hmm. I will say the defense was, and we can kind of keep going down the list of players here, and Naz Reid will be a good point of discussion for this.
Yeah,
I do think the defense had some issues, especially when Rudy was out the court, and I just think Naz had a pretty poor game. That's not just, again, 20 game samples is kind of the minimum we're looking for, but the defense was rough on night one. They weren't able to get him into good spots offensively. Only scored 6 points. It's not a worry for me offensively for him at all, but the defense, that was an issue last year at the beginning of the season. The non-Rudy minutes defensively, it was a point of contention or point of focus in the first game or in the preseason. And now one game into the season, again, just one game. I'm just going to stop saying that, 'cause you can couch everything we're saying in that, but
for sure.
One game in, Naz had a pretty brutal defensive game.
Yeah, he didn't have his best game. He didn't have his greatest game. You know, it definitely, you know, he struggled a little bit. But I look at it from this perspective where, you know, you got to look at the team totality. I think offensively, you know, they found it, you know, second half going into the fourth. But defensively, they got to figure it out when it comes to just locking down slashers. They're not good at slashing teams. They're not. You know, Portland has players that just pew, pew, pew. They're crashing, going to the paint constantly. So that's where all those points in the paint came from. So, you know, they struggle with those type of teams because they're constantly moving. When teams have a lot of movement, a lot of action, you know, they're focused on one player, and then all of a sudden the player's at the rim now. You know, when I think of it, I think of that Otto Porter play when he was on Shaq and the Fool. But when he's just, like, sleeping on defense, and then all of a sudden he looks up and he's like, oh, snap, he's all over there. And I feel like that sometimes happens to the Timberwolves. So they just got to continue to get better. And, like, we keep saying, one game. But Naz was a part of that where I felt like some of the defensive rotations, he wasn't there when he needed to be there. And, you know, it's the first game, so. I try to judge everything off the 20th game. Now, if he's doing this game 20, I'm like, hey, man, we got to figure this out, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yep. I agree. And last year's a good example of it looked rough at the beginning of the season and they were able to improve it, probably not to the degree that they would have liked, but it became a glaring black hole of their defense, just the non-Rudy minutes, and they at least got it to not that. We didn't talk about Rudy much, but it's because I just thought he had a solid enough game by his standards. It's just like, it's the classic Rudy Gobert conundrum. I know I say this a lot, but it's like, the offense kind of struggles with him on the court, but the defense struggles even greater with him off the court. And it's kind of why 2 years ago, why him and Kat were so fun, because they were, Kat's the exact opposite, that your offense is always going to look good with Kat playing, but your defense is going to be at a disadvantage. And so having those two together was always like rock and a hard place. What was going to win out between those two extremes? Did you have any Rudy Gobert thoughts before I move back to the bench?
For me, it was just more so they got to figure out how to get to him offensively a little better. I think Ant missed him a couple of times. And then also I saw Dante miss him a couple of times in the paint. It's just more so when he flashes and has his hands up, that's the time to get it to him. You know, you gotta have him involved, because Rudy's one of those players. If he's involved with everything, then he's gonna start getting it going defensively. Like, you know, his mindset, everything, you know, starts clicking for him. So I think if they could start the game off with like a couple of alley-oops or, you know, pick and rolls, get him going, I think that's gonna help his confidence throughout the games. You know, he's one of those players, like, he needs to be involved in what's happening. He can't be just sitting there watching, because then when he goes to the bench, that's when it gets even worse. You know, so just want to continue to see him be involved in the offensive, on the offensive side, and want to be able to see him crash boards a lot better this year too.
Yeah, and one of the plays I thought that was key down the stretch, and this will kind of bridge into the Terrence Shannon discussion, was late in the game. Shannon drove to the court, drove to the rim. I don't think Chris Finch loved the drive. I think he would have thought it was a bit too reckless, but it ended up working out
Rudy.
in the sense of, yep, Shannon draws. I think it's clinging to contest the shot, and he throws up a wild layup, but that's kind of what happens when the center rotates over. Rudy's going to be right there to put it right back in. And that was a big, that pushed the lead back up to 2-4. And then obviously Denny hits two free throws on the other end, and Ant hits the dagger to pretty much salt the game away with what, like 10 seconds left. But that play was big from Rudy, just being there, finishing a shot. Not saying it was the most spectacular play, but with Shannon, I just think that shows his value of being able to. They don't have a lot of guys that from the perimeter are going to just attack the rim. Ant is obviously one of them. Dillingham, theoretically, in maybe one day, is that. But it's really just him and Shannon and Ant, and maybe to a lesser degree Nas. But obviously guards are different than bigs in that sense. But Shannon made a play. Maybe it wasn't the most prudent play, but he got to the rim and drew the defender. And yeah, the missed shot isn't what you want, but it drew the defense enough to leave Rudy wide open under the rim, and to see him have double digit points of 10. Hit both of his three pointers, and then he had five rebounds and five assists, which he wasn't necessarily the point guard in that, but like it shows that he was finding his own shot while being in like the flow of the offense.
And that's what they need. They need somebody that, you know, when Ant needs a breather, who's going to continue to keep that pressure on the defense. And you know, TJ came in and was able to do that, you know. So, you know, like you said, it was a little reckless. But you know, when you got Rudy right there to clean up, you know, he makes everything look good. So I did like the confidence that he played with, because he was able to continue to just keep applying pressure. Him and Jalen, when they're in the game, I think both of them just ignite. It's like a synergy, like an infectious, you know, type of contagious energy, you know. So I think both of them, you know, moving forward, the playing time is going to build confidence too. So I don't think there's anything wrong with what TJ was doing. Some of the stuff, you know, some of them, could you take it back and be like, hey, let me figure it out. Let me maybe pass the ball, get somebody a better shot. But I mean, he's being aggressive, and that's all you can ask for.
But yeah, the last guy I had on, obviously Jalen Clark. We'll leave the Bones Highland discussion for to two pants no oh, two pants. That's I'm all sorts of mixed up. For Crunch wears no pants, we'll leave the Bones discussion for those guys over there. I don't know if Brandon from No Pants is a big Bones Highland guy, if you didn't know that.
I'm big on Bones too. I'm big on Bones too. I think he's gonna be special for us too. Well, for the Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not going to play Dillingham, I think he's certainly going to be especially valuable. But yeah, Jalen Clark, I do think, I mean, he played an awesome game when they needed defense, especially in that fourth quarter. He brought exactly what they need. For the non-Rudy minutes, he just kind of feels like a necessity. They need someone else out there to be able to guard. I'm a little worried about his offensive game, in the sense of he had a couple wide open threes that he passed out of, and I'm kind of like, you got to shoot those.
You got to
When
take
you
them.
get a wide open, when you got to take them. And if they're keep clanking, then we can reassess. But like, you kind of got to keep throwing them up there. And that's a worry of mine. Just teams are leaving them alone, and that it's going to be if that's probably going to be, it's like the Josh Okogie of it all. It's if he can make threes at even a 33% clip and wide open, they'll be wide open, then he's going to be a fantastic player in this league. And if that part of his game can't develop, it's going to be closer to Josh's career. Josh is a solid player. He played a lot of minutes in that double overtime OKC game. It's hard. All that said, it's hard not to just fall in love with his defense and the way he just plays so hard.
I mean, last year I felt like he was hitting the three consistently when they, you know, because teams are sagging off of him. So maybe it's just he just got to get some reps in and, you know, get it going. Because I thought he did pretty good. Like, he would at least hit like two. I felt like every time he got time, whether it be garbage time or whatever the case may be, I felt like he would always get at least 2 3-pointers in the corner. Like, yeah. I don't know why.
He shot 43%. He shot 43% from three last year, but that was 50 total attempts. So the sample size here's how low the sample size. His career 3-point percentage, just off of two misses last night, dropped from 43% to 41.5%. So like that's the low sample size we're talking about.
Yeah. So I think if he gets more opportunity, I think he can hit the three. I think he's not scared to take it. I think last night it was more so, hey, I'm in the game defensively. I just don't want to mess up. You know, when you get that mindset, you know, then you mess up. So, you know, at the end of the day, he just has to just play confident and, you know, play freely like how he played last year. I think in the second half of the season last year, he came in and was like, all right, this is who I am. So he has to continue that. And that's why he's earning the minutes, too. So he has to continue to show, you know, the coaching staff that, look, this is why I got the minutes. I'm great defensively, but I can also bring, you know, some value offensively as well. So, and he showed it last year too. He'll trick you with a little pump fake and stuff and then go to the basket too. So he has a little bit in his bag, you know, offensively, but it's more so how do you get that out of him on a consistent rate, right? So got to get repetition. So he looked good last night, you know, he was playing like he didn't want to mess up. So when you play like you don't want to mess up, then you tend to get nervous. And but I think Jalen Clark's gonna be great for us. Well, great for them.
Yep, I agree. And we got 81 more of these. Really interesting game, I thought. But ultimately, the 41 points and the fantastic down the stretch play from Ant. He led them in plus minus at plus +9. That's what stands out. And all the other stuff kind of fades away in my mind. Mm-hmm. But what do you got to plug? I know Ant's got new shoes and you were trying to track down any sort of info you could find on those.
Yeah. Shout out to Adidas, because me and Adidas been working on this campaign together. So, you know, they, which is pretty cool. They reached out to me and was like, hey, we want you to, you know, head the new AE2s that are coming out. They're called Berry Blast. Blue Bass, my bad. I said Berry. Blue Burst, excuse me. But yeah, so we're going to be releasing on Wednesday against the Lakers, and then they're going to be also having AE night. So be looking out for that. They're going to probably have them on sale there too. So I just was thankful for Adidas for even reaching out to me to say, hey, let's, you know, you're in Target Center already. You know, let's bring this to light and bring Anthony Edwards' burner account to life. So I thought that was pretty cool too. Cause you know, I was holding on to it for a while. I had the burner account for like maybe like 3 weeks now. And I'm like sitting there, like twiddling my thumbs, like, when can I start talking? You know? So I think it's just pretty cool that, they were able to reach out to me and we partnered up and made something happen. So, we got that coming. Got the mixtape coming too. My music's going to be coming out, next week too. So I'm excited about that. Got a couple of good tracks for you to listen to. So yeah, that's about it, man. Just ready for the season.
Awesome. Yeah, me as well. Hopefully I'll see you out there at the home opener on Sunday.
I'm not going to be there. So I'm going to miss Sunday and Monday. You know, got to take care of my mom's, make sure she's good. And then one of my best friends, he's getting married on Sunday. So I'll be back. I'll be ready for that Lakers game. That'll be my first game. So, but bittersweet. If I knew that they were gonna do the tree, if I knew they were gonna do the trees, on the 26th, yeah. I would have told my best friend, hey, let's go another week. But you know, his fiance is extremely mad at me, so we gotta keep it going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
I'll just give my own personal shout out. Happy birthday to my mom. Her birthday
there
today. So shout
happy
out to that.
Mom.
Yep. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Leo and I will be back early next week. Leo will be out in LA for that first Laker game on Friday. Then obviously I'll be back home for the home opener. But for Travis, I'm Ryan. Thank you everyone for listening. Go Wolves.
Ayoo!